Well, this morning we have the joy of having Alan Eckert share with us this morning, and so let's welcome him as he comes to preach.
Good morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning and just to have been part of the wonderful time of worship that we had in music. And Father, at this time, I do not even begin to know what is going on in the hearts and lives of each one that is here. But I'm sure that there are those, Father, that are going through difficulties today, trials, hard times. And Father, maybe their hearts have been given to fear because of those things. And so I pray, Father, for anybody here that is in the midst of those times, that these words this morning would be encouragement to their hearts, would touch their hearts and their lives with your love and with your words. So use these words today for your honor and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many remember a while back those window stickers that you used to see in the back of pickup trucks, SUVs, and even some cars that said, "No fear"? Remember those? Well, the reality is that everybody experiences fear at some time or another, and even some quite often. Believers are not immune to these fears. I'd like to share with you a list of the top 10 most common things that people, whether here or anywhere around the world, no matter where they're found, fear the most. And they're in order from 10th being, you know, not the strongest to the first being the strongest. But 10th, losing your freedom. Losing your freedom. While the exact definition of freedom and its values in a society are debatable subjects, the fear of losing your freedom has always been present in human minds. Because even though it is not something that we think about every single moment, it has given each of us deep thought and wonder what would happen if we were to lose the power to control our own lives. 9th, the unknown. The fear of the unknown is easily explained like this. The mind tells us that in order to move forward, we need to know what is waiting for us there, because if I know, then I can control the situation. And if I don't know, then I'm not in control. And that second part is what scares us the most, not being in control. Fear of the unknown often stops our progress and makes it harder for us to discover and understand new things, and also encourages us to reject anything new. Pain is another one. Aside from a few exceptions, most of us are intolerant or afraid of physical pain. It's illustrated in the fact that there are great amounts of medications related to pain relief with different levels of strength and for different types of pain. The rejection of pain is caused because we associate physical pain with illness and bad health in general. And this fear can be linked with the fear of losing your freedom, such as in the case of people that suffer from chronic pain. Disappointment is another fear. There are two different fears that are related to disappointment. One of disappointing others, and one of suffering disappointment yourself. The fear of disappointment is part of the reason we avoid the unknown. Disappointment is that feeling of dissatisfaction when our expectations do not match what actually happens. And that's often then followed by regret. The sixth was misery. Misery comes from the inability to cover our own basic personal needs. No one likes seeing or feeling human misery, because we know that it can bring out the worst of human actions that come out of desperation caused by it. Fifth, loneliness. The fear of being alone is that dreadful feeling of emptiness caused by the absence of interaction with another human being. Ridicule. We fear ridicule. The fear of ridicule is related to the fear of getting bad criticism. and is often caused by our social fear of not projecting a good enough image of ourselves to others. We fear rejection. Believe it or not, that was third highest on the list. That social fear is one of the main reasons people act the way they do. We tend to, and sometimes blindly, follow the actions of others because it helps us to avoid dealing with rejection from others in society. We fear rejection because, like the fear of being alone, most of us can only justify our existence through the acknowledgement and acceptance of others. Believe it or not, second on the list, most would think it would be first, but second was death. Death is not the worst everyday worry because oftentimes people avoid the thought of it as a near future occurrence in their lives. Yes, most handle the fear of death by avoiding thinking about it. And number one, what was the one most common fear that people throughout the world experience? Failure. Failure. It deserves the top spot because it rules over all our actions and our decisions. We all do and don't do things in order to avoid failure. Failure can be a lot of things. Realizing you didn't live your life the way you wanted to, not succeeding in your plans, finding yourself helpless, or in the worst case, even hitting rock bottom. Failure can be the worst fear of all. The fear of failure is very often used as an excuse to procrastinate or not do anything to make situations better. Why bother? People tell themselves, I'm not good enough. Now, have you felt any of those fears at one time or another? I think all of us have. We deal with these fears in our spiritual lives as well. Think how many believers don't share Christ due to fear of rejection, the fear of ridicule, or of disappointment, or the unknown, and even of failure. How many don't commit to spiritual disciplines in their life because of the fear of failure? Fear in our lives, they tell us, leads to bad places. Consider some of the impacts of fear and anxiety. One, it impacts our physical health. It weakens our immune system, can cause cardiovascular damage, stomach problems, and even lead to accelerated aging and even premature death, they tell us. It impacts our memory. It can impair formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of the brain, such as the hippocampus. It can make it even more difficult to regulate fear and can leave a person anxious most of the time. To someone in chronic fear, the world looks scary and their memories even confirm that. It impacts our brain processing and our reactivity. It can interrupt the processes in our brain that allow us to regulate emotions, read nonverbal cues, and other information presented to us. Maybe we've experienced that in our own times of fearfulness. It hinders the process that causes us to reflect before acting and causes those things that cause us to react ethically. This impacts our thinking and decision-making in negative ways, leaving us susceptible to intense emotions and impulsive reactions. All of these effects can lead us unable to act appropriately. And it has other consequences of long-term types, such as fatigue, clinical depression, and even post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, those are just the effects on us personally, not to mention the impact of fear on those around us and even society at large. So fear is damaging and dangerous and is not what we are called to spiritually. Paul, in 2 Timothy 1:7, said, "For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." Now, some versions translate self-control as a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So think about it then. Where does fear come from? It comes from the sinful nature that dwells within us, that nature that we're born with. Clear back in the Garden of Eden. We find that Adam and Eve did when they sinned against God and ate the forbidden fruit? In Genesis 3:10, we find that they hid themselves because they were afraid. Because they were afraid. Now, that's the first mention of fear in the Bible, and it comes after the fall as a direct result of the fall. Again, we have all felt fears at one time or another. Some may be dealing with one or more of the types of fears we mentioned earlier, even right now. Some might say, but isn't fear, some fear, natural? But fear holds us back and keeps us from being all that we can be, as we've seen personally and spiritually. Remember, we are told that God did not give us the spirit of fear. He did not mean for us to live in fear. We are also told in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. So how? How do we keep from fear? Some may wonder, is it even possible to not live in or with fear? Even in the worst of situations, God does not want us to live in fear. Jesus, on the eve of his crucifixion, said to his disciples in John 14, 27, think about this, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, I can't imagine the disciples in their life going through anything worse than what they were about to go through in the Lord's crucifixion. As the disciples were about to face the darkest hour of their lives, Jesus told them not to be afraid, even as he was about to be taken from them and treated not just as a common criminal, but as a hardened criminal and be crucified. How did they respond during that time? Most feared for their lives and went into hiding. When Jesus sees most of the disciples for the first time after his resurrection, we find that they were behind a locked door for the fear of the Jews in John 20. But here's some encouragement for those of us who do at times struggle with fear. What were his first words to them when he found them behind that locked door? His first words were not words of rebuke, not scolding words, scolding them for their fear. No, he showed compassion, and he said, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. Imagine how much they needed to hear those words at that time and from their Lord and Savior. Peace be with you. So what is the key to finding that peace that we so desperately need in the times that we are prone to fear? Look with me at Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. There was a gentleman in the church that I had pastored. Andy was his name. And Andy, when he was young, was affected by polio. And that was before the time that drugs for polio were readily available. And as Andy got older, the ravages of that polio began to affect him more and more. And as those things affected him, he became less mobile, in pain constantly. It was a tough life. But, you know, Andy was so strong in his faith and was such a witness to others. Even in the midst of his pain, you know, when you would take him to a doctor's appointment, when you would take him somewhere that he had to go, an errand he had to run on, you know, he was talking to people, as he so often did. They would say to him, "How are you today?" And he'd say, "Fine in the Lord, fine in the Lord." And that was truly, truly his feeling. And, you know, in the midst of all he was going through, he said to me that this was the verse that meant the most to him, Isaiah 41:10, where we find these words, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah, in his book here, wrote of the coming judgment that would befall Judah. They were to be taken into exile by the Babylonians. Scary times were in their future. The Babylonians were some of the cruelest people of their day and ruled their world of their day. In their time of exile, they would be able to look at these words of Isaiah here and find comfort and hope. Well, these words also bring comfort and hope to us today as well. They are also a key to us conquering fear in our lives. When troubling times come into our lives, why shouldn't we fear? Because God says, "Fear not, for I am with you." We shouldn't fear because God is with us. Let that sink in for a moment. God is with us. This changes everything. No matter what you may be going through, you are not alone. And it's not just anybody that you have with you as you go through those things. It's God. God. He said, "I will never leave you, never forsake you," as we find in Hebrews 13, 5. In Psalm 23, 4, we find that he is with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. We find that he is present there to comfort and to guide us. For as the psalmist said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod, as it was used here in this reference, was an instrument of protection, and the staff, an instrument of comfort. That valley of the shadow of death is sometimes interpreted as the times when we are close to death. But you know, it could be better understood as any dark or dangerous valley that we encounter in life. You know, we do go through dark and dangerous times in life, don't we? Maybe you've been through some so bad that you felt like you were going to die. Or some might have even felt like they wished they could have died. But what got you through those times? Whether you recognized it or not, at the time, it was God's presence. God's presence. Many have felt his presence at those times. But whether we feel his presence or not, he is there. He promises us this. It's not based on our feelings, but on his sure promises. Remember the poem Footprints? Such a beautiful poem, isn't it? We see this image of this individual walking along the seashore. And as it was, their life is reflected by a set of footprints that they see on the shore of theirs and the Lord's. And they notice that at times, and it was at those times that were the most difficult in their life, that they see only one set of footprints. And, you know, the Lord is with them there, and they say, "Lord, where were you at these times?" Assuming that he had deserted them at those difficult times. But he said, "No, no, my child. It was at those times that I carried you." So recognize that he is there in the midst of your difficult times, and thank him for his presence. Feel the comfort that his presence brings, and this will keep you from fear. Isaiah went on to say, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Fear, if we're not careful, can lead to dismay. But what exactly is dismay? It's not a word that we use a lot today. But dismay is a sudden or complete loss of courage, utter disheartenment, or sudden disillusionment. In the midst of a fearful situation, did you ever feel totally helpless and even hopeless? We can be kept from this as we realize that he is our God. He is our God. He who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he who loves us. He is our God. As Romans 8 tells us, nothing separates us from his love. Now again, let that sink in. Nothing separates us from the love of the Almighty. We are his children, his dearly loved children. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, that doesn't mean that deliverance always comes immediately to take us out of an unpleasant situation or difficult circumstances. But it does mean that there is both a purpose for those things in our lives, and that our God, who is greater than our greatest troubles and challenges, is there and is with us to help us. What are the next words I will strengthen you. God will strengthen us. When we are in the midst of difficulties in life that would typically lead to fear, we are in need of inner strength. These kind of situations tend to sap our strength, don't they? Think of those hard times you've gone through in your life, those that could bring panic and fear. They just seem to tire you out. They leave you in need of strength. When you feel you're about to give in to fear and despair, remember the words of Isaiah again, but in the chapter before, in chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He says, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. Remember, there's no limit to his strength. When you need strength to face your fears, look to the Lord to give you his strength. Yes, I will help you, he says. I will help you. The psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In Psalm 121, 1 and 2. The maker of heaven and earth will help us. There could be no greater help. No matter what is going on in your life, he is your help. You are never beyond his help. He is there for you. Now again, that does not always mean automatic deliverance from whatever it is that would cause our fears. No, but it does mean that he is there to keep us from fear, to help us, no matter how difficult things may get. I remember once as a camp counselor, when I was working in the Adirondacks, that a time that I had to walk my campers back from the bottom of the Hudson River Gorge, 3.5 miles back to the camp at night in the cold and rain. We were supposed to be on a 2-day overnight, and things did not start out well, as it would just so happen. Our cabin and another cabin, two of the kids that were responsible for bringing part of the supplies, somehow they got forgot back at the camp, 3.5 miles back. There were things that we couldn't do without. So we stayed the first night. These were things we could do without till the next day. But then the next day, myself and a counselor from the other cabin, we hiked 3.5 miles back to the camp. We got those supplies 3.5 miles back, and we're on the other side of the river, so we had to get back across the river each time, pulled over on a raft, and get back just to find out that the cabin that I was with, they had collapsed their tarps. It had been raining all day, collapsed their tarps, and now they were all soaking wet. So we had to go back to the camp. You know, it was going to be too cold overnight, too wet, so we had to get everybody back across the river. By that time, night had fallen. We had to hike up the Hudson River Gorge and back to the camp in the dark. Can you imagine, in the dark of the Adirondack Forest, you're trying to see the little trail markers, you're trying to see the trail in front of you with your flashlights, and off in the distance you hear the cry of a koi dog at the other side of a pond, you know, howling, and you're thinking, oh boy, I don't want to encounter them. And, you know, the Lord brought us back to the camp. Even in the midst of those difficulties, he was with us, and he brought us back. He saw us through. Sometimes in our lives, it seems that we are walking in the dark, that we are in the midst of storms, that the rain is falling all around us. And we can hear our predators, if you will, howling around us in the distance. These times aren't easy. They would provoke fear if it were not for God being with us. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. He not only helps us, he upholds us. He has us in his righteous right hand. The right hand, speaks of authority and power. The power of God is what holds you up when you want to shrink back in fear. It's what holds you up when you want to collapse into a heap of despair. Don't give in to fear. God holds you up. John Piper points out five reasons we see here that we should not fear, expressed through five prepositions that we can see in this passage. God says, I am your God. In other words, he is over you. He says, I am with you. In other words, he is by your side. I will strengthen you from inside of you. I will help you. He is all around you from wherever the enemy comes. I will uphold you from underneath you. Fear not, be not dismayed, for he is over us, beside us, inside us, all around us, and underneath us. When we recognize God's presence and apply these things, we will see and experience the power, love, and the sound mind that 2 Timothy talks about that God has given us. These things are the things that we need most when we encounter those things in life that could cause us to fear. He is all-powerful, and his power is there to uphold us and work on our behalf. His love surrounds us, which gives us confidence. Remember, as we said, nothing separates us from the love of God. Even when we do fall, in his love, he is waiting there to welcome us back and to fellowship with him. As he said to the disciples, when they, due to fear, were behind locked doors, peace be with you. The sound mind gives us help to make right decisions at a time that many go wrong. Things that make us fear are often the most challenging in life. But these times, if responded to properly, not with fear, but in obedience, can grow us fuller into the image of Christ and deeper in our relationship with him and more sure in feeling his love all around us. Let us pray. Father, there are many things in this world that can cause us to be prone to fear. Many things that without the right spiritual look and right spiritual heart set could even lead us to dismay. But Father, today, your word tells us to fear not, for you are our God. And we thank you today for all the difference that that makes, that you, the Almighty, are our help and our supply. We thank you today. We ask that these words would encourage our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.